Now, O God, open our hearts and our minds to receive what your Spirit has to say to the church. Enable us to take the love of Christ deeply into our hearts, nourish it by your Spirit, so that our lives may be fruitful in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, the first thing you need to understand is Sally and I did not collude in the way that we begin our mutual sermons this morning, even though we share the same roof. She does her thing, I do mine thing. Sometimes great minds do the same thing or similar things. So tune in and you'll see what I mean. Remember what it was like as a parent when you left the children at home for a weekend? How many did that? You left them home. You arranged for somebody to care for them, right? Maybe it was grandparents. Maybe it was your favorite babysitter. Right? That's what we had. My grandparents were too far away from Kenmore. We couldn't call on them every other week, you know, for stuff like some of you get called on. We had no aunts and uncles in this area. A good friend of the family sometimes came and stayed with my brother and I for the weekend. My parents were both involved in barbershop singing, and they would go off to competitions with either the barbershoppers or the Sweet Adelines, and we'd stay home. Some of you have done that, right? Now, you remember, of course, that you told them that you were going to be away. You just didn't disappear, right? We're going away, okay? And then you told them when you'd be home, right? All right? So far, so good. Maybe you told them that you would call home while you were away, especially maybe it was a week-long trip. And you said, well, we'll telephone every now. Nowadays, of course, we're used to Skyping, right? So we'll Skype you every night, whatever. You make an arrangement. We'll stay in touch, okay? Then you assured them of your love, and you assured them that they could depend upon the person who would be taking care of them in your absence. That person would be their companion. They could depend on them and trust them to do what needed to be done. And you also reminded them that you were to do what they told you to do. And then finally, you may have said something like this: don't be afraid. I love you. Well, that's not the only time where you prepare people that we love for our absence, is it? Several years ago, I underwent major surgery that had considerable risks of complications that I might not survive. So ahead of time, I went about the business of getting my will in order and gathering information for Sally and Christopher and Laura and Martha that they might need, listing where important documents were and making sure that that's where they were, making lists of people to contact, a long list of internet accounts and passwords, and I put it all into a binder that Sally still calls my Grim Reaper book. Okay. Now my task is keeping it updated. In so doing, because I love them, I was trying to prepare them as best I could to have what they needed in the event that I didn't survive this particular surgery. Well, obviously, I came through the surgery just fine, but I'm glad I took the time and made the effort to prepare this information. And I continue to update it, because there certainly will be a time when that will be the case. I hope it gave Sally and the family some sense of peace. I know it helped me find a sense of peace as I rolled through the doors of the operating suite. Now, in today's gospel reading, we see Jesus doing the same thing with his disciples that we do for the people that we love. In fact, this whole series of scriptures from Easter to now in the lectionary of the church, the schedule of gospel readings for each Sunday of the year in this particular cycle, all focuses in about three chapters of the Gospel of John. This long, what scholars call the farewell discourse, where Jesus is constantly with his disciples, reminding them of his love for them, saying over and over again, "My peace be with you, do not be afraid." That's the message of this whole section of the Gospel of John. He's preparing them for their life without his physical presence. And what's really interesting to observe that the planners of the lectionary have put this series of readings in between Easter and Ascension Sunday, which we will celebrate in what, one more Sunday? Where we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension of bodily ascension of Jesus into heaven. His ultimate absence from us, the risen Christ will no longer be present, and we will need to live without the presence of Jesus physically with us in the world. And we've been doing that, and we all do that now. He's trying to give them the information they will need, and he assures them of the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, the one who will come alongside them, who will enable them to face the challenges and the changing circumstances in their ongoing journey of life and faith. And he gives the gift of peace in the face of the harsh realities of life in a turbulent and even violent world. Critically important also to remember, because at the time the Gospel of John was written, which was around 80 AD, Christians were already facing opposition and even persecution for their faith, and they were afraid. Could they go on with their faith or not? And here, the writer of the Gospel of John, in compiling the range of understandings of Jesus that he had received, prepares this long section of his gospel to remind us of the abiding presence of Jesus and that we need not be afraid in any circumstance. It's important for us to recognize that Jesus' words are not just for the disciples of his time. They are words meant for you and for me as well. For in the times of challenge and the times of loss that we face, these words continue to be words of hope and peace. For we are promised the continuing presence of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. The Greek word is paraclete, which means one who stands beside us, who's with us in all circumstances of our lives. And that presence is real. How real? Well, a couple years ago, you remember the terrible bombs that went off at the Boston Marathon. Remember that? Just a couple years ago. Reporters and commentators on that event, as it unfolded on the screen in front of us, made much about how members of the crowd watching the race and first responders ran to the site where the bombs went off and immediately went to the assistance of those who were injured. Spectators ran across the street. They tore away the barricades that were in the way of the first responders getting to the site. All of these bystanders rushed in to assist the wounded. hospital personnel left the tent that was prepared to care for the runners at the end of the race and ran down the street to provide their help. People went to the hospitals to be ready to receive the injured. Nurses stayed beyond their scheduled hours. Doctors came in from their homes, I'm sure. Others simply got out of the way of those who were assisting. Now, I don't know about you, but in their actions, I see this promise of Jesus fulfilled. In such unselfish, compassionate action, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the one who is alongside, was and is actively present in the midst of that particular tragedy. That happens over and over again when these kinds of events happen. While the world may not give us relief from violence, and we have to remember Jesus did not promise that the world would do that, Christ gives us a peace that the world cannot give. The peace of the Spirit's presence when we absolutely need it the most, even in the midst of that kind of suffering. Now, those who help may simply say, well, I did what anybody else would do in the circumstances. And you've heard that answer. In fact, you may have given it yourself. How remarkable, isn't it, that God works in ways and through us in ways that we do not even realize as we stand alongside others in their need, a neighbor who's lost a spouse, a friend who's facing chemotherapy, all of those kinds of circumstances. You can make a list as well as I can. They're there to do what needs to be done for the person in need, to help them through it, to go alongside them. Here's the presence of the Holy Spirit in a real way to give comfort and strength and hope and help and, yes, even a sense of peace. Bishop Reuben Job, toward the end of his life, wrote a wonderful little book called Three Simple Rules. He was reflecting on John Wesley's principles that appear in the general rules of our church, that headline that marked the beginning of each section of these general rules. These three simple rules for Christian living are, first, this was Wesley's thinking, do no harm. The second, do good in all possible ways at all times. And the third one was stay in love with God. Stay in love with God. Jesus said, if you love me, do my commandments. If you love me, you will know the presence of the Spirit, the gift of the Advocate with you, to bring strength and comfort and hope and presence and peace. In all times of uncertainty and change, in times when we don't know what the outcome will be, Christ promises that the Advocate will stand with us and give us the sense of support and security and hope and comfort that we need. The signs of that presence and peace are on our communion table this morning. A simple portion of bread and a simple chalice of grape juice. Very ordinary substances of our everyday lives. In this holy meal, through the grace of Jesus Christ, because of his love for us, in the ordinary becomes extraordinary. An extraordinary sign of the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to us of his presence and his love and his companionship and his peace each and every day. and a reminder to us of how our lives, when poured out for others in our words and deeds of love and support, bring his presence and peace to reality in the world. Physically, Jesus is no longer with us. As we share at the table today, let us rejoice that Jesus' promise of the Spirit's presence is constantly fulfilled, and that as we give ourselves in service and love to others, we can be agents of the fulfillment of that promise. During the serving of communion this morning, the choir is going to sing an anthem to remind us of this, an anthem drawn on the text of the Gospel of John. It's not just nice background music, so we, you know, don't hear footsteps while people are walking around. Here's the text set to music by Thomas Tallis. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth. As you come to the table this morning, wrap yourselves in those words. Give thanks to God for the gift of Jesus' abiding presence and peace. Amen.
While Jesus was present with his followers, everything was great. When he began to talk about leaving them, that's when things began to fray a bit. But that Spirit of God was with them, enlivening and bold, making them bold. If it weren't so, we would not be here this morning. Someone shared with us God's Spirit, and we're here today. So what's bubbling inside of you? What's making you come alive? That's what we have to offer here in this offering time.
God, you freely give your love and peace to all your people.
You wait expectantly for our response. We offer these gifts of our hearts and our lives to show that you have a place in our ongoing life and in our calling as a community called Christ Church. Bless and multiply these gifts and guide us as we live and work together to make your love and peace known in this community and our world. Amen.
The communion table in the United Methodist Church is open to all who want to respond to the invitation to come. So hear these words of invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in love and peace with one another. All of you who desire to come are welcome at this table. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You alone are God. You created from the form from the void, light from darkness, and life from the dust of the earth. Even when we turned away from your goodness, your mercy was not turned aside. You brought us out of slavery, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and set before us the way of life. You loved the world so much that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, that the world might be saved through him. Your Spirit anointed him to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, and won for you a new people by water and the Spirit. By the baptism of his death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit at your right hand, where according to his promise, he is with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Therefore, with your people in all ages and the whole company of heaven, we join in the song of unending praise, singing, truly holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. On the night he offered himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Your church has continued in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup. Therefore, in remembrance of all your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us, as a living and holy surrender of ourselves, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Send the power of your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be renewed as his body and transformed into his likeness, faithfully serve him in the world and look forward to his coming in final victory. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There will be several serving stations available to you. When you come forward, you will receive a piece of the bread. Receive it with thanksgiving, dip it into the cup, and in this way participate in this sacrament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Will the communion servers please join me? Is one loaf. We are one body, and we share in the body of Christ. In the cup, we share in the blood of Christ. Come now and receive the feast of Jesus' love and peace. Just let me know when you come forward. We have it available here.